prayer, being the ninth hour. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. How many would have liked to have been to church that day? Wow, what an exciting thing. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Sometimes we don't always know what we need. The Bible says this man looked to Peter and John, and he thought they were going to give him something monetarily, or something that would help him out financially. I think that was the idea. But we don't always know what we need. I read of this an elderly man who lived his whole life as a bachelor, and he was losing his eyesight. He gathered his four nephews and announced that he was going to get married. His nephews were in shock. One spoke and said, "Uncle, are you getting married because this woman is so beautiful?" He said, "No." Another nephew asked, "Uncle, are you getting married because the woman is a great cook?" Again, he said, "No." The third nephew questioned, "Are you marrying this woman because she is so rich?" "Of course not," was his reply. The final nephew said, "Uncle, if you're not marrying this woman because she is beautiful, or because she's a great cook, or because she's rich, then why are you marrying her?" And with a wink, he said, "I'm marrying her because she can drive at night." That's how my wife responded when I shared that with her. Sometimes we don't know what we need. We don't know what we need. And this man thought he knew, but God had different plans. Now, the man is not the one we're going to focus on, though. It's Peter and John. Apparently, they walked around just like a lot of us. They appeared to be broke when they went to church. But the Bible says that they gave what they had. And some of the things they had that day, guess what? We have today. We have today. Not things you can buy, not things you can even sell, but God says you can use for His glory. So I'd like to share with you this morning, giving what we have. Notice verse number 6 again. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Heavenly Father, help us to see the things you have provided for us, whether material, spiritual, whatever it is, Lord, whatever you have put in our hands to decide what to do with, we ask God today, would you show us how to put it to good use for you, that what we have, we can give for thee, to the needs of others, or simply just to point them to Christ. May you get the glory through the things we see, in Jesus' name, amen. Giving what we have, number one here. If you're taking notes, let me ask you some questions today. We'll try to answer them. Will you give time to God? Will you give time to God? Notice verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Ninth hour would have been around 3 p.m. in the afternoon in their day, their clock. And apparently it was something that was regular for them. The Bible says that the disciples gave time to prayer, time to prayer. This was a schedule that sounds like either they were doing regularly before, or it has now become part of their witness for Christ. They were at the temple when they witnessed about the Lord in chapter number 2 as well. And here they are regularly going to the temple for prayer. This was not, in fact, they might have seen this man many times. And yet God records this particular moment for us to show us some things they had. They had time to pray. They also gave time to serve, Take a look at verse number 2. Certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask him of alms them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." What could they have done differently that day? "I'm sorry, sir, do you know what time it is?" It's time for us to pray. And we do this all the time. We don't want to break that schedule, by the way. You know, something might happen and things won't go right, or whatever it might be. Here's my schedule. I can't break it for you. Well, God says pretty much that if my schedule is my schedule, that'll be true. But if my schedule is God's schedule, that won't be true. I'd be willing and able to change something. One of the men of God that has been an influence, or was an influence years ago in my life, his name was James Maxwell. My wife remembers Pastor James Maxwell. He's still serving the Lord today, I found, but I'm not sure. I don't have contact with him. But he said something like this to me many years ago. "We must learn to operate on God's timetable. His schedule is often different than ours." Have you come to that point where you said, "God, here's my schedule. Here's my, you know, if it's on the phone or in a, whatever, the calendar. Lord, what do you want me to put on here?" And especially today. Today. Does God have regular things for us to do? Yes, he does. And we should keep those things. But sometimes he says, "By the way, I'm going to interrupt your day for a second. Look to me and help me to help others." The disciples gave time to serve. The disciples gave time to witness. Take a look at verse number 11. This is after this amazing miracle happened. Verse number 11 says this, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. What? And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" Wow. Wow. You know, I don't know if those guys had planned that day, "Hey, I know what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Then we're going to heal somebody. And then we're going to be a witness for the Lord." I don't know if they woke up that morning planning for that. But I do know this. They woke up that morning prepared for that. They were prepared. The prayer time, the willingness to serve, and the willingness to tell about Jesus. "Hey guys, this is amazing. This man from his womb, you all know him. You saw him when you walked in here, but it wasn't us. It had nothing to do with who we are. It has everything to do with who Jesus is." And he goes on to tell him. We'll look at it in a moment. But Christian friend, let me ask you, will you give time to God? Are you willing to keep your schedule open for him? There are some things that we're not going to break. And yet God might say, "But wait a minute, right now in this moment, you've got a little bit of time for me. Would you do something for me?" Will you give time to God? Let's go to verse number 4 again. Verse number 4. "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.'" Number 2. Will you give attention to the things of God? Will you give attention to the things of God? Praise the Lord, we're in God's house today. But there are things that can draw our attention even now away from the things of God. Whether it's something going on at home, maybe there's a burden in life that you don't know how it's going to get taken care of, or something that's on the schedule and the planning that, "Okay, I got to do this first and that first, and when we get home from church, I'll have to go after that." God says, "Why don't you let me have this moment together? Focus on what God's word is sharing with us." Take a look at verse number 5. "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." The Bible tells us the lame man gave attention. He thought his real need was money, but it wasn't. His real need was not what he thought it was going to be. His real need was what, folks? His real need was to be healed. And then his spirit as well. Have you asked God what your real need is recently? Have you asked God what your real need is, or what a burden that he has for you to carry through with? What is the need? Have you asked him? We certainly know that God's word teaches us of many needs that he has out there or is in our lives. But what about the specific one today? Lord, what should I bring to you? And what can I be a help to someone today? The lame man gave attention to the disciples because he didn't know his real need. But God met it that day. The people gave attention. Take a look at verse number 12. We looked at verse 11 and how Bible says that Peter and the people were starting to come over and see this amazing thing. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. The Bible tells us the people were giving attention to Peter as he began to share the truth of Jesus Christ. He explained this work was because of Jesus, and then he proclaimed the sinner's need for faith in Jesus. Take a look at verse number 14. Ye denied the Holy One. Ye desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And verse 15, killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith that which is by him that hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Christian friend, as God told you, you need to take a moment out of your schedule because somebody's willing to listen about the Lord today. Somebody's willing to hear about this great thing and you can point them to Christ. Daniel Webster, and from all I have read, no affiliation with Noah Webster, the gentleman who we know of through dictionaries and so forth. But Daniel Webster was a politician and a statesman quite well known in his time. He vacated his summer from Washington, D.C. and came back to his home state of New Hampshire regularly. Each Sunday, he attended a little country church there in New Hampshire, both morning and evening. His niece asked him why he went there, and when he paid little attention to more eloquent sermons in Washington, he replied, "In Washington, they preach to Daniel Webster, the statesman. But this man has been telling Daniel Webster, the sinner, of Jesus of Nazareth." Oh, how we need to share that we need faith in Christ. As a sinner, we need his payment to cover the cost that we all deserve to pay. And God has paid that. Amen. He has paid it. And he says, I want you to share. If you have some attention, don't be afraid to share that Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. And something interesting also is the disciples gave attention. The disciples gave attention. We saw that they spent a lot of time with God in prayer. Turn with me, if you would, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. They gave attention to the Lord. Boldness with God goes before boldness with men. Have you been bold with God today? Did you know that God wants you to meet with him? And there is a sense of boldness that he says you can approach me with. Look at verse number 16. We're in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read that together. Hebrews 4, 16, please. Let's begin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldness does not mean demanding. It's not what the Bible's telling us here, but it certainly says without restraint, without holding anything back from God, let's come to him and bring whatever it is on our hearts and minds. There's nothing that God cannot hear from us. Does that mean that there are some things we shouldn't say to God? Well, he'll tell us that after we tell him. He'll say, now listen, I want you to change that, but I want you to bring it to me. I want you to bring it to me. The Bible says that the disciples regularly prayed here in chapter 3, as well as all the rest of the book of Acts. They were known for that, and they went boldly, and they could go before men with boldness because they had been with God. They'd been with God. And they gave compassion. Interestingly, let's go back to Acts chapter 3. They gave compassion before urging conversion. Take a look at what happened. Verse number 7. Here was with the man that was lame, and he took him by the right hand, that is Peter, took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Take a look at verse number 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" And then verse 19 is when he shares and gives the invitation, if you will. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And ye shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." He shared his compassion. There's an old phrase that, and I don't know where it started, but somebody shared it with me a long ago. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Your caring and compassion can open a door that otherwise wouldn't be opened. God says these guys used compassion, and they used it for the glory of God. By the way, do you have to be compassionate in order to give the gospel? No, you don't have to, but it certainly can help. It certainly can help. The disciples gave attention. Will you give God your attention to the things that he has for you? Then a final question here. Let's go back to Acts. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Take a look at chapter 4. Go to chapter 4 with me, if you would. This is kind of the aftermath of what happened. Amazing things were happening. As you know, thousands were beginning to gather, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4. And some of the high-ups were taking notice. Verse number 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Here's a third question for us today. Will you give God your life? Will you give God your life? The disciples, the Bible says, praised Jesus with their words, and thousands believed on him. Now, something I want you to notice here in verse number 4, something that we can easily pass over. It says, verse number 3, and they laid hands on them, on the disciples, and put them in hold for how long? Unto the next day. So at least 24 hours, let's say. For it was now eventide. But after they left, what happened? Verse 4 tells us, thousands came to believe in Christ. They weren't believing on Peter and John. If their presence was necessary to be there, then they might have believed on something other than Jesus Christ. Yeah, they believe in Jesus, but man, with those guys, we know we're going places. But something they shared about Christ began to work in their heart and mind. Who would be doing that on them, by the way? The Holy Spirit began to work on their mind, and the Bible says that the words they shared began to reach hearts, the words about Christ. They praised Jesus with their words. Acts chapter 4, verse 19, take a look there. The Bible says this, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them," while they were being questioned about all this, "whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." The disciples obeyed Jesus with their words. They also obeyed Jesus in their works. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Take a look what Jesus told them to do. Did they obey it? Verse number 10. Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem. Get back there. By the way, what were they doing in Jerusalem? After Jesus died, they were hiding out. They were in that secret place. They were trying to keep a low profile. They didn't want anybody to know that they were around because they might be next. But Jesus said, now I want you to go into Jerusalem. And you're going to start letting me be known to people because you're witnesses of me. What did they do? Verse number 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, the Lord Jesus said, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. They obeyed Jesus. They obeyed Jesus. A place that was hostile is now a place where God told them to go. The Bible tells us you and I need to consider obeying Jesus. And by the way, the angels, when I believe they were angels that were standing there, it says they were men dressed in white apparel. It makes perfect sense that they were messengers of God, those angelic messengers. And they looked at them and they said, what are you guys doing? What are you waiting for? Jesus told you to go back to town. What are you waiting for? And the Bible says they did, and many other instances of their obedience as well. You know, we work so hard as parents, don't we, to train our children to obey. In a loving way, in a kind way, most of the time, we try to train our children to obey. You know what God wants from you, child of God? He wants you to obey. He wants you to follow the same things that you understand as an adult or even a young person who may not have kids. You understand the importance of obedience. If you were walking across the street and there was a car coming and you saw it, but your child didn't, what would you say? Just keep going, honey. I'll see you on the other side. No, you wouldn't. You'd say, stop! And if that child had learned to obey, it would save his life. Children of God, he wants you and I to obey him. And without delay, the disciples showed that throughout the book of Acts and other places as well. Not only that, but listen to this. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. The Bible shares with us that many believed on Jesus after hearing from the disciples. They gave their testimony, they gave their time, and they gave their witness. And here's what it says again in verse 3. And 4 of Acts chapter 4. Let's read it together, please. Verse 3 and 4. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Many believed on Jesus after hearing from the disciples. The Holy Spirit continued to work on hearts and the things that the disciples gave for God to use. So the question that we looked at this morning, I should say, the statement God wants us to consider is giving what we have, giving what we have. It wasn't money that changed that day. It was their willingness to share what they had that changed that day. Whatever it is the Lord puts in our hands, would you give it to him? Let's finish with Romans chapter 12. Would you go there, please? Romans chapter 12. Take a look at verse 1 and 2. Some folks make this, they call this their life verse. And whether you want to call it that or not, I don't know. They're all good verses in the scripture, I think. But this is certainly helpful when it comes to striving to honor the Lord with my life on a regular basis. Let's read those together, and then we'll be done this morning before we go to the Lord's table. Would you read them with me? Verse 1, verse 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What do you have that you haven't given to God yet? Is it time? Maybe it's just simply attention. Or could it be that he said, I gave you my life will you give me yours? Our lives are much better in God's hands, wouldn't you agree, than in our own. He knows best what to do with them. And why not commit it to Him even today? Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this amazing story in Acts chapter 3 and beyond. But Lord, as we consider what these men did, it wasn't their power, it wasn't their strength, it was their reliance on the Lord Jesus. It was some of the things that they had prepared to do. They were available and they were able because of you. I pray, Father, help us to see where our time is, where our life is, Lord, where the things you've provided can still be brought to your hands, Lord, and use them through us. Use them through us. And I pray, Father, if there's one like this man who was, he thought his need was something totally different, and yet, God, you showed him it was a physical yes, but spiritually he needed the gospel too. He was there listening as Peter preached to. Oh, Father, I pray if there's anyone that needs Christ that's listening today to be saved by him, I pray this would be the day that they call on him, that they seek his face, and they put their faith in what Jesus did on the cross for them. That salvation lasts for eternity. As a Christian, Lord, show us who we are in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed. Please, eyes are closed. Let me ask you, though we don't have an invitation necessarily today, we will go to the Lord's table in a moment, but I'd like to ask if I can pray with you about what God may be showing you. Pastor, I'm here this morning. I'm born again. Without a doubt, I know the Lord is my Savior. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if that's your testimony, would you raise your hand for a moment and put it right back down? Amen. I'm born again, no doubt. I've called on him. Amen. Thank you for your faith in Christ and your honesty. Christian friend, this is a passage for us. This is a place where God says, I want you to consider your own time. I want you to consider, what is it you give attention to? Are they things that are of me? Or are they something that needs to be changed so that they can be more of the things of God? And is your life his? Is your life his? Pastor, God's shown me I need to make a decision for him today. Would you pray with me about that? He's shown me there's something I need to bring to him and give for him to be used. Would you pray for me about that? Amen. Yes. Yes. Any others? Pray for me. God's spoken to me. Maybe it's something totally different. Amen. Yes. God's working in your life, and he says, here's how the answer is going to be. Would you follow me? About just simply obeying what he tells us. Pastor, pray for me. He's told me to do something. I want to follow through with that. Pray for me. One more question, and then I'll finish our prayer time. Perhaps you're here this morning, friend, and I know there might be some listening, who simply need to put faith in Jesus Christ. Just like Peter said, all this was to tell you, all this amazing stuff was to tell you that Jesus died on the cross for you, that he rose again the third day, he's alive, and he can save you from the terrible penalty of sin. But you must put faith in him. Would you believe in him today? Pastor, I've never done that. I'd like to do that. Would you pray for me? I can't pray for you in the sense of your salvation, but I can ask God to settle that today. Pastor, here's my hand. I've never done that, but I want to do that and do it today. Pray for me. Anybody like that today? God, you're so good to us. Thank you for your wonderful word. Help us, Lord, to follow through with it. As we approach the Lord's table, please focus our mind, just as we looked at, to pay attention to the things that he did for us and remember them with honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Doug's going to come and lead us in a song. It's number
390.
390. Would you turn there? Number 390. Would you stand?